Well, as of a few weeks ago, the 2019 gubernatorial election is now history. Most of us are glad because we don't have to listen to the commercials anymore. Kentuckians have chosen a new leader for the next 4 years. Some may like it, some may not. The Solemnity of Christ the King celebrates a not-so-new leader. Now, you know, kings and queens are usually not elected, but become leaders because they're members of a royal family. It's passed down to them. Ordinary people have no choice in the matter of who's king or queen. But today's scripture readings give us two examples of kings who allowed themselves to be affirmed, elected, so to speak, by some pretty ordinary folks. Their names are David and Jesus. King David, who reigned 1,000 years before Christ. All the tribes came to David, we heard in that first reading, say, you know, David, you fought bravely and well against our enemies, and God told you you should now shepherd these people. So we want to formally anoint you and ask you to be our king. Done deal. And then in the gospel, the soldiers and rulers called Jesus a king, but they did so in jest. And one of the criminals crucified with Jesus taunted him with, "You're really a king. Come down off of that cross, save yourself and us." That guy basically voted no to Jesus. But the guy on the other cross voted yes to Jesus. Maybe we can learn something from these two guys' radically opposed voting patterns. First, the no vote. Now, we don't know what either one of these guys did to get themselves nailed to a cross. Luke's gospel calls them criminals. But if you read Mark and Matthew, they call them revolutionaries, maybe because they were being punished for some political action that they took. But we can speculate a little bit about the no guy's personalities. He apparently is one of those folks who believes that might makes right. Basically, he said to Jesus, if you're a Messiah, use your raw power. You can take care of those Roman soldiers. With one fell swoop, you can nail them to the ground forever. This guy probably died with an angry, bitter sneer on his face. Jesus didn't do what he asked. We might speculate, though, that he had suffered some injustice, maybe some pain somewhere in his life. You know, we humans don't get bitter for no reason. But he voted to hang on to that bitterness until his dying breath. He voted no to Jesus because he couldn't believe anybody could be good enough to die for a just cause. He had been jaded by life, apparently. And he couldn't see beyond his own love of selfish power that had been wrenched away from him. We may not know this no vote guy's name, but I'm betting we do know some people like him. And we might even discover some bits and pieces of him in ourselves if we look deep enough. Now, the guy who voted yes to Jesus. We don't know his name for sure either, but tradition has it that he is called Dismas. The Bible doesn't say that, but it's been handed down by tradition that his name is Dismas. Some people call him Dismas the good thief. We can speculate a little different personal profile for Dismas. For starters, he owned his past, even the unsavory parts. He apparently was an honest man at heart. He says we deserve this punishment we're getting. But even more importantly, he saw himself as brother. He saw himself as brother in suffering with the other two hanging on the crosses. You know, some pretty unusual friendships can happen to us when we share sufferings with other people. If we run into somebody who has gone through what we've gone through, as different as we might be in lifestyle, we might just strike up a friendship. Dismas looked beyond his own terrible plight, but best of all, he elected Jesus as king. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, you know, when the word kingdom is used in the Bible, it doesn't mean a physical place. Jesus' kingdom is a state of being where everything is right among God and God's people. Dismas elected Jesus as somebody who can make things right. Not by raw power, but by unselfish attention to every human person. He elected the guy on the middle cross king, because that king was willing to die for a cause beyond himself. Maybe this scenario of three crosses on a hill has some wisdom to offer us, something to teach us, perhaps. For one thing, we may discover a willingness to change in the people we least expect. People that we think are lost for one reason or another, are losers for one reason or another. If we look closely, we might find in their brokenness some sacred and royal traits. Dismas was a broken man, but in the midst of that brokenness, he recognized compassion. He saw the deepest of love in the man hanging in the middle. We too, if we look closely, may find what is royal and sacred, half hidden, in some of the folks we least expect. Maybe a recovering alcoholic, maybe a single mother trying to get an education as she raises her child, maybe some of the folks that the cathedral feeds every day in the dining hall for the homeless. We may even discover some sacredness in our own brokenness, or even in our failures. But the other thing we learn from Dismas is that we have to choose Jesus as king. We have to vote for him. A man hanging on a cross is in no position to force anybody to do anything. Jesus has power over our lives only if we're willing to hand it over to him. And when we do choose Jesus as king, we choose his way of life as the fundamental, overarching, organizing principle of our lives. You know, we all organize our lives according to different sort of scenarios. We organize our lives about our career, about our families, about the recreation we do, physical fitness. We all have areas that we organize what we do every day and how we spend our time around those principles. But when we choose Jesus as king, we choose his way as the fundamental organizing principle of our lives. Everything, in a sense, centers around him. Only when we organize our whole lives, our relationships, our careers, how we spend our money, how we spend our time, only when we let that allegiance to Christ as king rule over everything else will our lives come together as whole. And even the broken pieces can fall into place when we choose again and again and again Christ as that fundamental organizing force in our lives. I may be one of the few people who still reads the comics in the daily newspaper, but I still read The Wizard of Id. Maybe there's a few of you all that do too, I don't know. It's about that little runt of a king who orders people around on a whim. And if they don't do what he tells them, he tosses them in prison to share some swill with the guy that lives there all the time. Or sometimes he suspends them by their arms from the ceiling. King of Id is sort of a image or an icon of coercion in people's lives. Well, we all have forces of coercion that tend to pull us apart. But choosing Christ as our ultimate king can spring us free from those competing forces. We can be free to live without fear. as God's beloved and chosen sons and daughters.